Let's go back to this scripture of Jeremiah chapter 29. Not long ago, I was walking past Kathy's refrigerator. And there ain't no food in it, but it's a nice refrigerator. No. You know, people put little, we call them magnets and scriptures and stuff on there, you know, because it's probably the most visited place in the house other than the bathroom, you know, is the refrigerator to get some stuff. And I've always heard ministers and people say God is no respecter of person. And I truly believe that. And I have to say this up front. If we are therefore imitators as God is, dear children, truly Christians, then how can anyone ever be prejudiced? Why would you not feel comfortable around someone of a different color of skin, nationality, creed, whatever? It's really kind of silly, isn't it? And why would you think God would love the white race more than he would love the brown race or the black race or the red race or whatever? That's always boggled my mind how Christians can say such things, use scriptures to say that. And I have a beautiful theater in my home. It's not a home theater, it's a theater. And it just is. And Kathy bought me that movie, 12 Years a Slave. Boy, that shook me to my shoes, you know. And what angered me, I got real angry. Here's this master white man quoting scripture to beat people. And it seemed like having fun doing that. And I thought, my Lord. And I have never, you had one man say, you've never experienced prejudice like the black man. And I've been having my own planes now for over 20 years. But when I used to fly commercial one time, sometimes people are mixed. You used to have a boarding pass. You didn't have to do all, you didn't go through security, didn't have any of that stuff then. And you used to get your boarding pass. Sometimes they give you same person, the same boarding pass for the same seat. That may have happened to you, you know. So I had got on, and I felt like the Lord say this. I always tried to get 10B if it was on Delta, because I knew that was an aisle seat bulkhead. So anyway, I had 10B, and I had my thing, and big, huge black man coming in. He said, excuse me, you got my seat. I said, oh, I'm sorry. And I reached in, and I said, no, my boarding pass says 10B. He said, mine 10B, so get out. I saw some people go, what good thing he is? And I just looked at the man, and I was born again, you know. And he said, you white people controlling the world, aren't you? Well, and I looked, and I thought to myself, no, we ain't. I ain't seen too many people controlling the world. I got up, and this one guy said, you mean you're going to let that guy talk to you like that? And what came out of my mouth shocked me. I said, well, you know what? This man's been treated 400 years terribly. His ancestors been beat on, punched, stomped, kicked, drowned, thrown down everything. I said, he's just having a bad day. The guy looked at me, goes, I'm sorry. I said, that's all right. I said, hey, he's just having a bad day. I mean, you know, hey. He said, yeah, I've been mad at the white man. He said, but I think you're the first white man I've ever liked. I said, well, I'm a Cajun. I don't really know what we are. I was born in South Louisiana and just bring home the baby. That's all it is. And when we have a family reunion, I got black people in my family and white people and brown people. And you learn to talk to each one when you go. And when I get around the white one, I say, what's going down? I get around my black family, what's up? You know, that kind of stuff. I get around the Hispanic, Feliz Navidad, you know, that kind of stuff. Hey, I become all things to all people just the way it is. And I really don't know, and I really don't care. It didn't really make any difference. We're a nation of immigrants. You don't know. If you just really research real far back into your lineage, you're going to be shocked. It's just truly amazing. And I've always wondered what people thought of me growing up as a child, you know, becoming a teenager, you know, especially as a teenager, you want to know what people, if they like you, dislike you, blah, 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 what people thought of me. And then after I got born again, because everything I ever heard about God was wrong, because we were raised Catholic in the sense that you didn't read the Bible. How many of y'all been Catholic at least once? Okay. Am I right? Hold your hand up so I can see. How many of y'all remember, if you're around my age, you were told don't read the Bible? Remember that? Don't read the Bible, you go crazy. Because only the priest can interpret the Bible. Kathy never read the Bible in her life till after she was born again. Never. We just were not allowed to do that because we figured the interpretation of the scripture can only be interpreted by, quote, the priest. In fact, when Kathy's grandmother passed away, now this is after both of us are preachers. Kathy's mama wanted Kathy to say something at her grandmother's funeral. She said, it's a Catholic funeral now, you know. And we know how those all those things are. So Kathy's mama said, go talk to the father and ask him and tell him I'd like you to speak so he can kind of put you in the lineup of the, you know, schedule for the funeral. So Kathy walked up and said, my mother would like for me to speak a word at my grandmother's funeral if it would be proper. And the priest was very nice. Oh, yes, that would be wonderful. He said, you can pick a reading. Or they call it a reading. You know, so Kathy, what did you do, John 14? So she said, I think I'm going to read John 14. He said, oh, you can't read that. Only the priest can read out of the Gospels. Pick something else. Am I telling the truth? No, you can read the Pauline epistles, the Johnine epistles. You can read all that out of context. But no, only the priest can read out the Gospels. A lot of you people don't know that, but Catholics believe that. So Kathy was a little mad. I can tell you when she's mad, because one eyebrow stay up like that. If you ever see one of them eyebrows go up, run. You're going to get hurt. Well, she come back to the seat, and I got down. I said, what's the matter? She said, he won't let me read out the Gospels because you got to be a priest. I said, go over there and tell him you are one. She said, what? I said, the Bible made us kings and priests, Kathy. Go tell him that you can marry and you can bury. You can bury the boy. You can marry the boy. No, you ain't going to marry the boy, but you can bury the boy. And you can marry. You know, you got the same power he does. But Kathy didn't do it. You know, she got another scripture or something and read it. And the more I thought about that, I said, you know, that priest is highly educated. She really doesn't know what God thinks about him. So let's talk about that. What does God think about me? And Jerry just read it, but I'm going to get a little deeper into it if it's okay. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. This is the Lord saying, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And he said, think of you. Did you notice he's thinking towards you, which means he's ahead of your thoughts. Before you ask, he answers. It's really wonderful when you know what God is thinking about you. And it's really wonderful when you know what other people are thinking about you. It brings a lot of peace and comfort in your life because you don't have to assume anything. Because you know what that can happen when you assume. That's all I'm going to say about that word, assume. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, not just of you. This is Jeremiah 29, verse 11, reading out of the King James. Now notice what he tells you, thoughts of peace. Possession of adequate resource. That's what peace means. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Adequacy. Thoughts of peace. I never heard that. I never heard that in church in my life. I heard this, you better watch yourself, God will kill you, boy. God will beat you, bust you, stomp you, rip your head off. But if you endure to the end, you shall be saved. I said, I'd prefer to be healed because I go through that. I didn't need a healing, good Lord. I said, it's a salvation. I heard that all my life. I was afraid. How many of y'all were afraid of God? How many of y'all were afraid to take communion, especially if you're a Protestant? Oh, you don't want to take no communion because if you're drinking unworthy, he'll damn your soul into hell. Say, oh, I don't want no more of this grape juice. Yeah, you have that. I don't want none of that stuff. Lord Jesus. Am I telling the truth? I hated communion. Now, I liked it in the Catholic Church because you didn't get to drink. Only priest going to drink that stuff. You got the host. In nomine Patris, Filii, Spiritus Sancti. In fact, when I got married to Kathy, sad, I shouldn't tell you this, Holy Rosary Catholic Church, we had 22 people standing on the altar. That's counting me and Kathy. And we were, and the guys were all in the back. And I found that wine. Man, I cracked the bottle. I had two by up, and I'm drinking that wine. We back here waiting on the fire. He went, oh, my God, man, you don't. That's blessed. It's holy. I said, it sure is. That's exactly what I said. He couldn't believe that I did. I didn't care. I was a heathen. I like the bluey socks. He said, do you take this woman? I said, if you hurry up, I'm going to do it as quick as I can. I was crazy, ladies and gentlemen, just flat, stupid nuts. I said, look at Kathy, don't tell them all that stuff. But that was prophecy. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Notice God saying it, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Very hard for God to think evil of you. Not of evil. Watch this. To give you an expected end or a good result or a prosperous future. And I want to deal with just that one verse. He's not only thinking of me, but he's thinking toward me. So he's ahead of me because he has my future in my mind. He doesn't have my past. God don't think about the past. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. So forget what happened yesterday because that's gone. You will never recover it. It's over with. Think about today. Here's something you should always do. Never put your faith in the future. I would say 99 out of 100 Christians, especially, is always putting their faith in the future when it was never designed for the future. It was designed for the now. So why do we put it in the future? What do you mean? You know, God going to do this and God going to do that. And people do it. And the Lord, he going to do that. I want you to know, Lord. Wait a minute, man. When? I want to know when he's going to do these things. And Hebrews 11 says, verse 1, now faith has the ability to create a future. But it wasn't made for the future. It was made for the now. So in actuality, God don't want you to wait. How are we doing? Waiting on God? No, he's waiting on us. That is so true. But yet the church world hadn't preached that. Like as if God's got to get ready to go do something for you. He's ready. So write this down. God's thoughts are not memories. Why? Because he don't have me. He forgets about the past. God's thoughts are hopes, promises, and intentions. For all the promises of God are yea and amen, which means yes and so be it. God's thoughts are hopes. What can I do for my child? God's thought, this is what I'm intended to do in every area. I have never found myself thinking how I could beat my daughter when she was growing up with us. And she'll be almost 43 years old in October. Well, she'll be 43 in October. Can't believe that. Holy my, good God. But I never sat back saying, I'm going to teach this girl something. Now, every thought I had of Jody was hopes and promises. What can I do for this child? Can I be a blessing to this girl? I wasn't good with discipline. I didn't want to discipline her. I wanted to just love her and be a blessing. Dad, can I have a dress? You can have two. Dad, you want to go to the mall? Let's go. I couldn't wait, especially if I had a few dollars. I remember one time we didn't have no money either, just like Jerry, and we didn't have no money. But I had money before I was born again. Oh, yeah. Devil paid me well. Church liked to starve me to death. I ain't gonna lie, that's a fact. But in the world, I knocked down some money in my life. But when I got born again, I said, well, you know, I'm gonna give all my money away. I'm going to be a true Christian. I've been poor. I was raised poor. Then we'll just start over. So when we would go out to eat, you can ask Kathy, we ate at McDonald's on Saturday morning, a quarter pounder with cheese. And Jody would take one French fry and just eat ketchup till the French fry was just dissolving. And I'd say, she's a little girl. I said, Jody, you can eat more than one French fry. I like the ketchup, Daddy. I said, well, eat a little potato with it or something like that. Boy, I mean, after a while, it would just turn to mush. I'd give her another one, and she'd just stick it in there. And so she never ate many fries, but she ate buckets of ketchup. She just liked ketchup, so I think she still does, you see. And I thought, man, I'm just trying to get her to eat this and eat that. And, you know, I always wanted to do something for her. I don't ever remember when I didn't, because I had high hopes for her. I was a little concerned about the boys that came to see her. One time a boy come, that's an ugly boy. I thought, if he marry her, that's going to be the ugliest baby. His head looked like a hatchet. Looked like a fish. His face was like it, but he turned sideways. His head looked that wide. He said, is Jody here? I said, yeah. Can I see her? I said, nope. I said exactly what I said. I run him off. I said, son, you got to go. Son, you're ugly. You just got to go. I'm sorry. That's just the way I was. I was protecting my child. So Jody come down the stairs. She said, Daddy, was that for me? I said, no, that was not for you. That was not for you. My God, we have a grandbaby could use their head for a ping pong paddle. You know what I mean? That kid, he's a wild, that's an ugly boy. Ugly boy. I got to think, I guess when he was born, they put them clamps on his head and just did that to that boy, I guess. Thank God she didn't marry that boy. I have a beautiful grandchild, glory to God. So God's thoughts are not memories, but they're hopes. What is he hoping today for? Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. He's using the same faith that you're using. He created it. He's putting his faith out on the line for you. The least you can do is put your faith out on the line for him. He'll never lie to you. You may lie to God, but he will not lie to you. He has great intentions and great promises, but not memories. Because he forgets those things. He's always a God of the now and the God of the future. But he wants you to operate in the now, because the future will become now. Write this down. See, God seeks peace. He creates peace and he sustains peace. Possession of adequate resources. Nothing broken. Nothing missing. This is what God thinks of you. This is not what the church world thinks of you. When I got born again, I truly got saved. I did. Now, I was true. I am a truly good Christian, but I was truly a good sinner. I ain't never done nothing one way. When I do it. I mean, when I sin, I sin. Oh, Lord, could I sin? I taught some things to the devil he never even knew. That's crazy, man. But when I got born again, I said, I'm going to do this. I've never found it hard to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. None. And I realized that I honestly believe, I didn't mean the devil didn't fight me, but I never struggled. I remember the preacher telling me, Jesse used to drink a lot. Yeah, I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. I'd eat pancakes and bacon and drink bourbon. And that's all day. I'd knock that fifth out and come down. And I ain't counting the drinks I'm going to drink that night. I mean, I was an alcoholic, which I liked. I didn't care. It made no difference to me. People said, well, you drink too much. Ain't none of your business. Of course, I didn't use those nice words. I didn't care who you were. I did what I wanted to do. I said, if I want to do it, it's right. Ain't that cocky? Arrogant? If I want to do it, that's right. I told the policeman that. He said, man, he said, you hurt somebody, you know? I said, if I do, it's going to take a long time for you to find out. I learned from my grandfather where to hide people. Boy, it blew him away. My grandpa said, anybody mess with you, son? Alligator got to eat. He was serious about that. This is back when, you know what I'm saying? He's serious about that. I don't mean that private. Mama got him saved 7 days before he died, so that was a blessing. But buddy, that was one you didn't mess with. My grandpa kid you in a second. He loved his family. That's it. No one else. Stay out the circle. He'd say, you don't do business with strangers. You understand? That's why all my friends were Italians. You know, the Italian mob of the New Orleans. I knew every one of them, you know. And my grandpa said, Mr. Mattei, boy, you know that Italian French. I said, they think like us. Grandpa, you do what you got to do. He goes, it makes sense. Be careful. Trust no one. Telling me that as a small boy growing up. Had a hard time trusting people. Very, very hard time, see. And he always thought somebody would hurt you, so he made sure that if you're going to get the fight, he's going to get the first punch. A first stick, first crane, call, whatever. It didn't make no difference. Because we didn't fight. He told me, you don't fight, son. You take the boy down. Isn't that crazy? That's true, though. I'm not exaggerating in any way, shape, or form. Because I was little, you know. He said, a little ain't got a thing to do with it. Get you a baseball bat. He said, his head, you can hit it easier than that ball. It's bigger. Is that crazy? You don't tell a seven-year-old boy that. But he did. I said, okay, Papa. That's terrible truth. See, but all he could tell me is what he went through. You see, now my grandmothers loved the Lord, but my grandpa never went to church a day in his life. Went to school one day, decided he didn't like that and quit. One day. His name was Gilesh Eshtik. Big man. Now watch this. He didn't seek no peace. Now he didn't seek no trouble, but if you wanted some, he could deliver. That's just how he was. Wouldn't talk to you. Wouldn't say nothing. Just to his family. Now, you know, I really believe he'd have become a great Christian if he'd have lived longer. If he'd have got saved before, because he was so strong on that side. If God would have twisted him over, I know he would bend him over. He'd have become a great Christian. Because that's just how he was. Write this down. Even when God disciplines us, his desire is to bless us. You see, love in his purest form is discipline. Even when God disciplines us, his desire is to bless us. Now, this is what God thinks about you. So if you think God's mad at you, now you may have done something wrong, and you know, what you sow is what you reap, but in that wrongness, he's going to forgive you and bless you. The discipline is not to beat your brains out and hurt you forever. It's to change your course so you can walk in the light that he wants you to walk in. And he's way more merciful than the devil or anybody else you know. You see what I'm saying? So even when God disciplines us, his desire is to bless us. Now, some people say, I don't know if that's really true. Write this down. Beware of thinking God has no room in his mind to consider his family. The only thing God thinks about is us. Every split second of your existence, God has you on his mind. Think about that. Beware of thinking God has no room in his mind to consider his family. Now, I got to watch myself because I don't put my nose in my daughter and my son-in-law's business. If they ask me about something, I'll tell them, you know. But, I mean, I want them to do good. And sometimes they'll ask me, hey, Dad, would you do this? And sometimes I say yes and sometimes I say no. I said, but don't make your decision whether I say yes or I say no. I said, but if you want to be right, listen to me. Not that I'm smarter than you are, because I'm not. I've just been here longer. I'm not smarter than my daughter. I'm not smarter than my son-in-law. I don't know if I'm smarter than anybody, but I may have been here longer. And you should learn some things the longer you're at someplace. I said, so I'm speaking from wisdom and experience, not just a shot in the dark. Do you see what I'm saying? So I consider them. She said, Dad, do you think I ought to do this or I ought to do that? Well, I said, you know, have you prayed about it? Yeah. And she said, but I'd like your opinion on it. I said, well, this is what I think, you know. But I said, I won't make me mad if you don't accept what I said. That's fine. I said, but this is what I would do. And I'm not saying what I'm saying is right. I just feel that this is what I would do. And it gives her a comfort to know that I'm not trying to make her mind up, but at least I can give her something else to think about. Simply because I've been here longer. So beware of thinking God has no room in his mind to consider his family. Because I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Not just of you, toward you. So my future's already been created. All I got to do is walk in it. Now, I've been coming to these conventions for over 20-something years. And, you know, I've had people say, I ain't never seen you depressed, despondent, discouraged, broke, busted. No, and you never will. Not that I'm hiding it from you, because I don't do that. In other words, if I'm going to have time to think, I'd rather think of something good than think of something bad. That doesn't mean that things don't happen wrong in my life. You know, something blow up. What do? Fix it? You do what you got to do. You just take care of it. So, now, I'm going to make a plan, and we're going to work this thing out. Just that simple. Then it's time I'll go before the Lord. What do you think about that? What do you think about this? Because the Bible says, come, let us reason together. Amen. I'll never forget the first brand new car. One time the Lord said, I'm going to buy your car this time. You've been paying too much on the other times. I'm going to buy you. I said, I'm going to cut the deal today. He said, now what kind of car you want? I'll never forget this. I said, I want a Toyota. This is years and years ago. This is 1978. I said, I want one of them Toyota Coronas, I think it was. Not a Corolla. It was a little bit bigger, you know. He said, okay. He said, are you going to listen to me? I said, I'm going to listen to you. He said, then we're going to go to the lot and I'm going to tell you which one it is. I went to that lot looking for what I wanted, not what God was going to tell me. I was looking for the color. So I saw this car and I said, whoo, Lord, just this. He said, they ain't it. I said, it's pretty. He said, it's pretty trouble. They ain't it. So the man comes in. He says, can I help you? The salesman. I said, I've been sent of the Lord here. He just looked at me and said, well, I'm glad God likes Toyota. I said, and the Lord's going to pick this car for me. And I saw that burgundy one. Boy, I thought, oh, Lord, I like it. But he said, I think it's one of the prettiest. I said, I think so, too. But the Lord said, it's going to be a lot of trouble. He said, he did. I said, he did. I said, let's keep walking. I felt stupid. I think he thought I was stupid. But he ain't going to tell me that because he want me to buy a car. I said, I move in the gift of the Spirit. And when it comes upon me, I'll let you know. He didn't know what the gift of the Spirit was. He said, okay, sir. So we walk in the lot and all that kind of stuff. And I see this silver one. Now, I'm not particularly crazy about a silver car. The Lord said, that's it. I said, it's silver. You going to argue with me? No, I ain't arguing with me. I'm saying this inside. I said, this is it. This is it. I said, this is the one we're going to buy. I said, the Lord said it. He said, he did. I said, he did. I said, and the Lord said, he going to pay this. He said, the Lord make a good deal. I said, well, are you going to beg God or are you going to go to hell? What you going to do? Exact words. He just looked at it. I said, this is what the Lord said to pay for this car. Now, you can either say yes or no. Go to heaven or go to hell. Which one are you going to do, boy? You got a decision to make. I was just blunt. He goes, well, I sure don't want to go to hell. I said, then sell me this car for this. And God will bless you. You'll sell more cars this week than you ever did in your life. And I ain't trying to cut you. This is just what he said. So he goes into his boss and he tells his boss, the Lord said to sell it to him at that price. Or if we disobey God, we might go to hell. True story. I'm not kidding you. He come out and he said, the boss says, okay, then nobody want to go to hell. So we're going to sell it. He said, we ain't making no money, but it sure beats going to hell. I bought that car. That week, that man sold 9 cars. He never had sold that many personally, and he worked on commission, things of that nature. I never forget, I saw him one time at a restaurant. He said, has the Lord told you to buy another car? Now, we laugh at that, but see, that was a miracle taking place. See, that was a promise. That was an intention of God to bless me. And that car is the best car I ever owned in my life. I never had one problem with it ever. Nothing. Because that's the only car I let God buy for me. Well, I literally just followed it line upon line, precept upon precept. And I thought, why would God be concerned about me buying a car? Just like you're concerned about your child buying a car. Because you see, we're never God's adults. We are God's children. I saw Aubrey singing last night. She really does look like a model. And I thought, there's the grandpa, and there's George, her father right there. And she's just singing a beautiful voice. And I was thinking, Lord, I remember when I first saw her, she was real, real little. And she prayed for you in the second son. And all that kind of thought, boy, that's a blessing of God. And here she's a full-grown woman, now has a child of her own. It's just such a blessing. And I could see Pawpaw Copeland going. I could see George going. See, George, he's just smiling. See, look. But I mean, you could see that it's wonderful that people are expressing this. And I know, what else can we do for her? Do you know how many people want to get on that platform up there? Oh, you got to be a Copeland to get it there. No, you don't. No, you don't. For you to get up there is all God got to do is tell Brother Copeland, Sister Copeland something. And it happens. It just happens. Because see, when you preach for Kenneth Copeland, you better be instant, in season, and out of season. Because in the middle of a sermon, he'll stop and look at you and go, finish it. Yep. Finish what? Somebody speaking in tongues. He said, yeah, Lord, I got that. Jesse, interpret that. Oh, now that's pressure, buddy. Because you know if you're going to say something wrong. That ain't right. Yeah. That's right. That's exactly like I heard it. You better be ready. You're not coming up here just to preach and let some people see who you are. They want the will of God. And it will be applied. Now, why does God think thoughts toward us of peace and not evil? Write this down. God is working with a motive. and it is for the good of those who love him. Everything God does has motive to it, and it's for the good of those who love him. What I love about God, he don't change his mind. He's settled, which brings me to this. His thoughts about us are settled and definite. There's no question or debate. Everything is that we told him is settled and definite. Sometimes I've tried to move him to change his mind. And he said, Jesse, what you're saying, and he's been very complimentary to me. That's a good idea, but that's not a God idea. That's a vast difference between a good idea. I see a good idea may be a blessing to you, but not to the level of a God idea. See, good ideas wear out after a while. People get tired of good ideas. Some people have built churches. God never told them to do it, but it was a good idea. Now they got to struggle to pay the note. Because, you know, after a while, those people that say, we're with you, man, we're with you, man, all of a sudden they ain't with you. They just get up and leave. You still got that note. And they told you they were going to help you. They just gone. But a God idea will help you pay it debt free if you believe it. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is his thoughts about us are settled and definite. There's no question or debate because he's working with a motive. Everything God does for me in my ministry is done with a motive. I tremble when people support me and support my ministry because I've asked the Lord for every dollar given to my ministry, give me a soul into the kingdom. And I don't mean this rude, but I do that. So if somebody gives me a big donation, I go, oh, instead of going, why? Go, no, I go, oh, I tremble. Lord, I got to go to work. And I really believe this. When we get to heaven, my partner, God's going to come up and say, this is what Jesse did with your money. Here's all the people Jesse got because you obeyed what I told you to do. I'm going to stand before God. And I'm not going to have my mom on the side saying, that's a good boy. Or Kathy saying, say, he's been a good husband to me. Or my granddaughter said, oh, that's a grandfather there, buddy. And I learned it from Jerry Seville. I actually did do that. I watched Jerry Seville. I watched how he handled his grandchildren. I thought, man, now that's a grandfather there, buddy. I never heard him say, you can kill somebody because alligator got to eat. Boy, he would just bless him. It was just such a blessing of the Lord. And I thought, if I ever be a grandfather, and I didn't think I was ever going to be a grandfather. Because, you know, Kathy, when I married, she said, I want 6 children. I was not saved, but I cast that demon out of her. I said, that ain't going to happen, Jack. 6 kids, you living in some dream world, woman. I said, I'm a traveler. I travel constantly. I got time with no 6 kids. So I wound up having 1 daughter, which I wish I'd have had more now. But I mean, and then she waited how many years in the marriage? 18 years? 17 years before Meredith was born? I can't remember exactly, but I mean that long. And then Meredith was born. I'm going to show you how dumb I am. I looked at her. She said, Dad, what do you think about me having another baby? You know what I said? I said, Jody, I don't know if I got enough love for another baby. And she looked at me, what? I said, Jody, man, my whole life exists in you and Meredith. She said, well, Daddy, you, and Kathy said, that's stupid. Just, you know you're going to, I said, well, yeah, that's not the issue. I said, well, my God, man. I said, everything I think about is for them too. I said, but if you want to have another baby, that's fine. But man, Lord, where am I going to put the picture? I said that. Remember, I got that. I lost my mind. See, I've already provided a future for my granddaughter who's 6 years old. She ain't got to work a lick in her life now. And she's only 6. I'm not bragging on that. I said, oh, man. I mean, you know, she has no idea. In fact, I got a preacher comes over. And she's running up and around my house. He says, she has no idea what you have done for her. I said, you know, that sounds like us. We have no idea what God has done for us. Because he thinks thoughts toward us. Not just of us. So his thoughts about us are settled. Now watch this. The best way, I had a lady describe something at my Visionary Leadership Conference, which people are coming from all over the world, not that thing. Watch this. And she said, you know what you do? And I said, what? You make Jesus irresistible. And when she said that, I thought about that. I thought, man, that's a wonderful word. I make Jesus irresistible. Then the next thing I thought was, simply irresistible. I mean, y'all see them girls. simply irresistible. Kathy said, why you got it? I said, I don't know. It just clicked. Make Jesus irresistible. Which brings me to this point. When you talk about God to others, you must furnish faith for them who hear you. You got to remember, you're talking to somebody who may have no faith at all. So you got to furnish that faith to hear that. For them to hear what you say so their faith can be developed in what you have deposited in them by simply talking to them about the God that just loves you. Let me say it again. When you talk about God to others, you must furnish faith for them who hear you. So I make Jesus irresistible. Amen. I thought, now that's a word from God. And I don't mean that private. I do. I don't talk about it like this. When I witness, I don't say, hello, would you like to meet Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? He'll come in your life and you can be like me. I ain't too crazy about Thursday night visitation and all that kind of junk. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm not. But you know, I never did that. I shocked the waitress so bad she didn't know what to do. She put the, I said, would you like to pray over the food? She goes, huh? I said, you're good, a good tip. Bow your head, Jesus. It's amazing what people will do for a dollar, buddy. It's just amazing. I love to pray in restaurants. Sometimes I don't go do that, but sometimes I do it on prayer. I look, people don't want to pray over food anymore. That's wrong. Man, they could have spit in there. You don't know. So what I do, I try to pray a little loud, you know, not to be embarrassing, especially by myself. I go, Lord Jesus. People go, put the phone down. See, I furnish faith. People literally bow their head. Some of them don't even believe in God. Because I now know what he thinks about me. I get up in the morning, and sometimes I look at myself in the mirror, I can hear God going, Jesse, Jesse. It's wonderful to be loved. It's wonderful to be loved for eternity. And if you make a mistake, he fixes it. If you just repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. But don't do that again. Come on. Just to be the blessing that it really is. You see, people say, how do you know God that way? This statement. Your faith in God must not be secondhand ideas. Write it down. Your faith in God must not be secondhand ideas from another person. You know what that is? That's an echo. That's not a voice. That's an echo from someone else. Let me say it again. Your faith in God must not be secondhand ideas from some other person, because that's an echo. I want to be pure before God. Amen. I've had the Lord one time. I woke up not long ago, maybe about 3:30 in the morning. I sensed the presence of God. I said, what? I said, what you doing? He said, I'm watching you sleep. I said, you're watching me sleep. He said, yeah. I said, why would you do that? He said, why did you walk in Jody's room when she was a baby and watch her sleep? How many times, Kathy, when Meredith sleeps at our house, you see me get up, I walk, because sometimes, you know, and I walk over. We made a special room real close to our bedroom when Meredith comes over, because, you know, I have a very big house. So for her to be way on the other side, it'd take a while, you know, to get over there. I'm serious. So we got a special, and I'll just walk. And I'll just look. Yeah, I know she's totally safe. That's not there. And she'll kick them covers off, and I'll just walk over. And I'll put that on. And I might sleep an hour. And I just walk in there. And then one time, I went and I put the cover. She goes, what you doing? I said, I'm watching you sleep. She goes, okay. Boom, out she went again. It's wonderful to watch her sleep. Have you ever done that with your wife? You wake up right before her. Yeah, I look at you. All of a sudden she opens her eye and you close it. You look at it again. All of a sudden you catch each other looking at each other. Kathy had been saying, I don't snore. I got to get me a recorder. Because the other day, my mouth like it. And I was going to put my finger in her mouth. All of a sudden she goes, what? I said, nothing. Why'd you flush the toilet? Now, how can I flush the toilet? I'm in the bed. Are you not flush? I didn't flush the toilet. You woke me. I'm in the bed. She has her bathroom. I have mine. I'm on a different size. That's prosperity. Let me tell you something. You want to believe God for something? Separate bathrooms. Believe God for that. That's a great thing. Your faith in God must not be a secondhand idea from another person. That's an echo. Let me give you a true story about what happened to Jesse, Kathy DePlanis, and Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. We went to the South Africa, Johannesburg, South Africa, preached the World Convention, had a marvelous meeting. Creflo flew back. I think Jerry flew back. Something happened. I was on Brother Copeland's plane, and a part went wrong or something, and they had to get a part out of somewhere. Now, you know, you got to fly all the way to Johannesburg, South Africa. It takes a while to do that. So we were stuck, in a sense. Brother Copeland, there's a wonderful man feeding thousands of children named Peter Pretorius. I don't know if y'all know Peter. I mean, he feed, man, God, thousands of people. He happened to have a 421 airplane. So we were just going to stay in the same hotel that we had before, whatever. He said, man, since you're here, you ought to go to this place called Sun City. He said, in fact, I'll fly you and Brother Copeland and Sister Copeland and you and Kathy, if y'all want to, over there. So we got to talk to Peter Pretorius, and we got on the plane, and we flew. Now, we didn't know what Sun City was. So that's one of the finest hotels I've seen in my entire life. All done in African decor. I mean, when I say beautiful, I'm talking about beautiful. Beautiful. Watch this. Now, there was a girl that had been working at this hotel who was on the front desk, had gotten my book, Close Encounters of the God Kind, talking about the heavenly trip. And she told everybody, and the manager and several of our, I guess, cohort people, they said, that ain't true. You don't know nobody. She says, I'm telling you, I know it. And one day he's going to come to this hotel. Now, she'd been saying that about 3 or 4 years. She said, I'm telling you, the Lord told me, and I'm going to meet that man face to face. Talking about me. He went to heaven. I'm telling you, he's going to come here. Now, I don't know this woman from Adam. She's not on my partner. She's not on my mailing list. None of that, okay? Well, anyway, we flew over there, and Brother Pretorius was so kind and so nice, and Brother Copeland, I didn't know Peter Pretorius. Brother Copeland introduced me to him. Just a blessing. So they took us over to the hotel. When we walked in this hotel, we looked, my God. I mean, there's such abject poverty around there, and then this is rich, son. I mean, this is just gold, just beautiful place. So we walk in. Now, naturally, I'm going to walk behind Brother Copeland, just not because I'm afraid. Well, you know, I believe in respect, you know, so I'm just walking like that. And we got our bags in our hands and stuff like that. We're going to spend a day or two and see how it is because we'd heard about it. Watch this. So we come walking in like that. And now, we're not dressed up in suits or anything like that. We're in shirts and just regular slacks and stuff like that. Not slacks, jeans and stuff like that. All of a sudden, this woman go, oh, my God, scream. Everybody in the foyer just, it startled me. I'm like, whoa. She comes running outside, past the front desk and grabs me. I told you. She turned to that front desk. I told you he would come. This is the man. And tears, that's the biggest tears, huh, Kathy, I've ever seen in my life. Now she's wetting my shirt, just crying. Come on, I'm going, who is this woman? You know? Trying to be nice. Oh, I told you, was just said. All of a sudden, the manager comes out. All the people come. She said, this is the man. And all of a sudden, they start crying. Everybody in the foyer is crying, man, because this woman is so touched. I mean, literally, physically wetting my shirt, which is okay. You know, I thought, well, thank you. You've read my book. Oh, I told him that God said you would come. I'm at peace. I've been saying this, and I told y'all, and y'all need to get saved. And the man's about ready to get saved right there. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Jesus. So we sit. So the manager is so kind and so nice. So now we're tired. Okay. We done preached this long convention. We flew over. They're going to call Brother Coleman. The pilot's going to call Brother Coleman. Let him know when the part's in, and then we'll fly back to America. So the man says, I want to comp y'all a room. We said, oh, no, no. I said, that's fine. I said, if you just get us a room. He said, I'm going to put you, and he looks at all four of them. He said, I'm going to put y'all in the same room. You know, when you go, you clear your throat, I mean, you didn't want to be in the same room. Now, you love each other, but you didn't want to be in the same room. So I'm thinking, you're going to give us a room with two double beds? You know, that's what I'm thinking, you know what I'm saying? I said, oh no, that's all right. You know, I want to say, I ain't broke, I can get my own room. Maybe it don't make a difference, you know? He said, no, I want to, and so both of us were very kind. They said, no, we would like to get on. Oh no, he just wouldn't take no for an answer. I'm going to comp you in this room. I promise you, y'all going to have privacy. And here's the girl crying. You don't want to start arguing with the lady crying. And the manager and all that. So he starts taking us to this room. Ladies and gentlemen, he takes us to the biggest suite. It's 10,000 square foot. Oh. I'm walking around the suite. Kenneth! Hey! Are you coming? I'm telling you, this place was beautiful. He said, now your room and section's on this side. This is all in the same suite, now. And Brother Sister Copeland's room. I'm walking around. Hey! That's why I hear Glory going, Jess! Jess! It's got balcony. This place was beautiful. I had a hard time finding them. We did have privacy. 24-hour service butlers. Wow. I touched the door at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yes, sir. What do you want? Wow. Nothing. I've never had service like that. I mean, I don't know what that thing costs a night, because he comped it. He gave it. He didn't let us have it. And we were so, me and Brother Coleman said, no, we'll pay you, sir. Oh, no. He said, the word of God came to pass from one of my employees. The least we can do is bless the men and women of God. Glory. It was a wonderful gathering. It was God. I mean, this place had a, this is, when I say poverty, I don't know where that part of Africa is, but they even had a wave pool. I mean, you should have seen this place. It was amazing for the people that were there. Well, naturally, I mean, it was just nice. There was food there I never heard of in my life. If you wanted it, if you wanted an ostrich to eat, they'd get grab that big chicken and they'll cook it right there, son. They just do whatever you want, son. It was amazing. You see, we were kind of disappointed because we didn't want to spend an extra day. We had been gone a long time. So in that disappointment, God gave me and Brother Copeland, Sister Copeland, our best. When I say best, and I've been all over the world. I've been in some beautiful room. Don't misunderstand me. But I had never been in a place like that. That was just the most amazing thing we'd ever seen. I mean, at that time, you know, and that's just many years ago. But I thought, you know, so a lot of time I tell people, and I don't tell them, I say, yeah, I said, yeah, me and Brother Copeland and Sister Copeland and Kathy, we stayed in the same hotel room. Y'all stayed in the same room? Same room. I wasn't lying. Same suite. They said, well, what did y'all do? Well, talked. Well, how does it feel to sleep with Kenneth and Gloria Coleman? Well, we ain't never done that. Well, didn't you say you sleep in the same room? Yeah, but I said, he said, well, were they in the other bed and you on the other side of the bed? I said, well, they were in their bed, we were in our bed. See, because if I told them what I just told you, they'd criticize it. I can't believe you took that room. We didn't take the room. The man gave it to us. We tried to pay for our room. We did everything we could. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? But God had thoughts toward us. Thoughts of peace, possession of adequate resource. So it was wonderful. So I remember one time Brother Colton come got me and said, let's walk around this place, see what's going on. Man, we're walking around, going on bridges across beautiful. I mean, this place. I said, man, this is something. It was just truly amazing. So in the midst of when we were trying to get home, trying to get, you know, the Lord blessed us beyond our wildest dreams. Now watch this. Couldn't get a plane back, so we had to drive from there all the way back to Johannesburg. John Copeland was with us too. Now man, and that's when I seen poverty like I've never seen in my life. I mean, people living in cardboard boxes. And yet this rich, and I thought, man, why, in Africa, what a continent of great blessing. But people wouldn't preach the word of God. Yeah. In a way that people could be blessed.
That's right.
They have enough minerals that, my God, this stuff. But when you don't know, when you don't have someone with the mind of Christ, Amen. He'll show you what's there and how to do it and function it properly. You see what I'm saying? So they think God is just trying to teach them something about just being poor as it could be. And it's all a lie.
That's right.
Write this down. His thoughts of peace may be hindered by your conduct. His thoughts of adequate resource may be hindered by your conduct. See, unbelief misinterprets the work and ways of God. See, there's a reason why sometimes we haven't received some things. It was because of our conduct. It's not that he's withholding anything. It's because we're stopping him from doing the best that he can for us. Because it's done by our conduct. His thoughts of peace may be hindered by your conduct. See, you got to understand something about God. God's thoughts are a prelude to his actions. And as good as his good word. See, I realize something. Is my conduct right? If my conduct right, then I'm going to be right. And all of a sudden, all the kinks get out of stuff. It takes so long, and quick answers come if your conduct's right. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I love being holy. And I, you know, people get mad at me and say, who do you think he is? That he is holy. Well, Jesus said I could be. He said, if he told me to be ye holy, evidently he thinks I can be holy. If he says I'm the righteousness of God, then whether I feel like it or not, I am what he says I am. Right? I mean, I don't know why people get mad about that. If he says, I'm going to bless you in the city, in the field, going in, going out. Don't get mad at me if I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out. What does that mean? That's not my stuff. My empowerment to get it. My empowerment to flow, to be at the right place at the right time, to receive the right thing and to do the right thing. This is what God thinks about. Yeah. And then as you grow in the Lord, he lets you make major decisions you never thought you would. He'll let you make God decisions. Just like you make your child make adult decisions. And you're proud when they make the right decisions. Let me say it again. God's thoughts are a prelude to his actions and are as good as his good word. But if your conduct's not right, his thoughts of peace can be hindered. I used to tell Jody when she was growing up, just obey your mama. Just do whatever she says. Because if you do that, everything gonna be all right. What about you, Daddy? You the boss of the house. Yeah, don't try to get between me and your mama. Just do what your mama says. But I like doing what you say. Why? Because there ain't no limits of what I say. She said, Dad, you put your foot down. It's going to get down. Yeah, because she see me. Now, this way it's going to be. There are times when I do this. You know, like that, not long ago, Kathy is the chief of staff of our ministry, see? So I have quite a few people work for me, and the ministry is literally global, and I don't mean that pridefully. So I walked into one of Kathy's director's meetings. George, you should have seen this, man. I walked in there, and they're all just sitting in there talking about magazines and all that kind of stuff. So I just come walking, and Kathy says, Jesse, do you need anything? You want something? I said, no. I said, it was kind of close to lunch, maybe 20 minutes to 12 or something. I said, just come in. And I'm just standing there like that. So they went on discussing whatever the ministry they were discussing. And I heard something I didn't know was going on. So I said, excuse me, how come I don't know about that? And Kathy said, that's below your pay grade. I went, I ain't never heard that before. That's below your pay grade. In other words, I didn't need to be concerned about that. And she was right. I went, yeah, I don't need to know that. See, because I got qualified people that can make qualified decisions. So that's below my pay grade. Well, not too long ago, she comes in, and they always want to spend some big money about something, you know. Now, Jesse, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Now, my name on that building, you understand what I'm saying? This is what we're going to do. Well, boy, and I said, and here's the cost analysis. And I said, they said, well, we're going to do that. I said, excuse me. That's above your pay grade. They went, yes. That's right. Well, go pray about it. I said, that I will do. I said, you got to convince me. Convince me. Why do you want to do this? When do you want to do this? How do you want to do this? Where you want to do this? What result will there be? One of my directors one time said, if we change this insurance thing, I promise you we can save $180,000. I said, enough to put your job on the line? He goes, are you positive? Are you sure of this? 100%. Enough to put your job on the line? I said, because I'll make this decision right now. But come November, there better be $180,000 in that account. You willing to walk by faith and not by sight? Or you going to trust this insurance company that's going to do what they say? Oh, now I'll call my boss. Oh, boy. I said, no, let's talk business here. We're going to do business. You're trying to convince me to do this. Okay, are you convinced? I don't want you to come in here and say, well, you know, we did it, but it didn't work. Oh, it didn't work. Whoa, wait a minute here. So I got to pay for your mistake. Don't shout me down when I'm freezing good. That's how I protect my partner's money. He said, I promise you'll be $180,000 in that account in November. Now, this is a year, two or three years ago. I said, done. And I promise you, if it's there, you got your job. Come November the 12th, I walked in his office. He goes, here it is. I said, my God, you did good. So here's a raise. Oh, I wasn't expecting that. I said, I was. I already made up my mind. You will save me that amount of money here. What else can you save me money on? And if you can, I'm going to be a blessing to you. And I don't care how much money you make. God tell me to buy Bill Gates a car. Yeah, but he's the richest man in the world. Who cares? That ain't got anything to do with it. It has to do with obedience to what God said. See, people think, oh, man, you got to give to the poor. I do. I give to the poor. I really believe in it. But I also give to the rich. Why? Because it's what God said. Simply what God said. You see what I'm saying? And now when you see this, then you'll understand this, that we are under divine training for a blessed and glorious future. See, I'm under divine training. So when I look in my ministry and I say, let me look at the numbers here. And my director of finance, she said, don't tell boss a number because he ain't going to forget it. And she sat down. She says, I can tell you figures and figures. I don't want to say this privately. My ministry generates millions and millions and millions of dollars. You see, because it takes that much money just for television and all the different things that are going on. I give God glory for that because people help us do that. Watch it. But if you tell me something, I ain't going to forget it. Why? Got to pay for it. I'm going to be held accountable not only to our partners and people and the United States government, but also to God Almighty. I ain't concerned about the IRS. Because I'm doing things right. I'm not concerned about people leaving me because I'm doing things because all my years of ministry, I've never had a scandal and I'm never going to have one. Why, you stand in your strength. No. I know those scripture, take heed when a man think he stand lest he fall, but I'm not standing in my strength. I'm standing in the strength of God. But see, I'm going to stand before God. You know what he's going to say? What did you do with my money? That's right. How do I know that? Now, faith is a certain things hope for it. Evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Sir, somebody making a report on me and you right now as we speak. That report's going to be brought forth when I stand before God on that great and wonderful day. See, this is serious business.
Amen.
So I'm very careful about that. And then yet there's sometimes I do some of the craziest things you ever saw in your life. I mean, I was coming home from a flight, and I'm going to close with this. And the Lord said, give Kathy's car away. That's exactly what he said. Kathy has an S550 Mercedes-Benz. Really a nice vehicle. Loaded to the gills and all that kind of stuff. Give Kathy's car away. I said, okay. I'm flying home. I got at the house. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And there's Kathy. You're just sleeping. Look at it. As you get older, you make weird sounds. So, man, I took a shower. I cleaned up real quick. I had been sweating and preaching. I got in there. And I said, well, I wonder if I should wait till in the morning. And all of a sudden I heard, she said, how was the service? I said, the service was fine. Was it good? She's still sleeping. See, I can tell. I said, Kathy, why'd you wake me up? You were talking to me. What did I say? You said, how was the service? She said, well, did you answer me? I said, yes. I said, it was good. Well, how good was it? See, women want details. They don't want to just say it's fine. It's good. What happened? I said, Kathy, the Lord told me to give your call away. She said, okay. and God's going to tell you to buy me a brand new one. Just that quick. And next thing I hear, that's right. So we call a Mercedes-Benz dealer. And I said, want to order, or if you got one, want to order a brand new one. 2014, blah, blah. I said, he says, what does she want? I said, I don't know. Ask her. So I got on the phone. Kathy told him all she wanted, blah, blah, this and that. Oh, this is a fine automobile. It's an expensive automobile. What's that? She said, I said, he said, oh man, I can't wait to, her car was 2 years old, 3 years old. I can't remember exactly what it is. Didn't have many miles on it, whatever it is. And he says, man, Reverend, we wait for your cars. I said, what? We wait for your car. We want, oh man, we sell your cars before you trade them in. Because we, you know, when you maintenance them, they just in perfect working on it, perfect condition. He said, man, we're going to pick yours up. I said, no, I said, I'm not trading. Oh, you're going to keep it. I said, no, I gave it away. He said, you what? I said, I gave it away. You gave it away. I said, yeah, I gave it away. You gave a 550 S550 Mercedes-Benz away? Yeah. He said, it ain't got hardly no miles on it. I said, I don't know. You actually gave it away. I said, I actually gave it away. Wow. He said, now how you want to pay for this one? I said, cash. I said, see what happens when you give things away? That's right. He said, well, I can't give you this car. I said, I didn't ask you to give me the car. I said, I didn't ask you. See, he's already getting guilty. Like, you know, I said, I didn't ask you to give me the car. I said, no. I said, I paid for it. I said, what I'd like you to do is drive it here. I don't like going to dealerships. Come to me and I'll sign your papers and all that kind of stuff, cut you a check and you go. He said, oh, yeah. So Kathy got it. And the car, I did give it away. We'll just get one of the vans. We'll just drive that around till Kathy's come in. Had to order it from Germany. I don't know why, but he just did. He said, oh, I can't believe you're going to take one of the vans. Why not? Money does not define me. That's right. Yeah, but I mean, you're going to drive the van around, what, 2 weeks, whatever it was? I can't remember now, what it was. How much? 3 months. I don't know how long. It didn't make no difference to me. Was it 3 months? I don't know. I just get in there and I see the van. I just get in the van and we drive around. In fact, I got a friend of mine, you know, his daughter really notices substance. She's only, what, 10, 11. She saw me riding that van. She said, Dad, I thought you said they was rich. And my friend said, don't judge the book by the cover. I drove that van around. I was proud to drive that van. Was it 3 months that I drove it that long? 3 months, whatever. I don't care if you see me. And all of a sudden when Kathy's car came in, yeah, she got it. And I put the van back. That's it. I'm not defined by that. Anything. You know why? Because I know what God thinks about me. His level of thinking didn't go down because I drove a van. Of me. His level of thinking didn't go down. Oh, God, look at Jesse driving a van. No, I enjoy driving a van. I enjoy driving anything. I don't really care. Because I'm not defined by things. I have some beautiful things, don't misunderstand me, but I'm not defined by them. I heard Kathy tell a person one time, Jesse could live in a treehouse. Yeah. Yeah. I never was embarrassed of anything I had. My first house was 910 square foot. The bathroom was so small, you could sit on the toilet and put your hands in the lavatory at the same time. I am not exaggerating. I was proud of that house. Why? It's mine. And when I sold it, I made 20 grand. They said I would lose money. I don't lose money. You lose money. I am not losing money. I reject that. Not that I'm smarter than anybody. No! The God I serve is not a loser. And if he's not a loser, I'm not going to be a loser. Oh, yeah, just wait. Well, they still waiting. So now they got a beautiful Mercedes. And as Michelle, she got a little lean to her when she's driving that Mercedes-Benz S550, and Kathy's on the other side of the other car, then they got a lean to it, and me and Nate just follow them. That's all we do. We just follow them. Why? What's wrong? Not bragging about that. It's the idea that you just do what the Lord said. And God's been giving new cars away to a bunch of people. The Lord said, tell them, I'm going to give them new cars. And I had a dealership guy call me, said, Jesse, there ever was a word of God? I told people when I left, I said, many of you are going to get brand new cars. They all went, he just saying that. And man, the dealership said that because of 2008, when the recession hit, everybody held on to their cars for dear life, you know, because people, a lot of people lost jobs, went to part-time work instead of full-time work. And man, now I'm in them cars. That's 2008. That's 2014. Whew. He said, Jesse, people getting brand new cars like we've never seen. There ever was a word of knowledge. You did. I said, well, the Lord said, people going to need transportation. See, he already knows what you need, you desire, or you want. So when you understand that, then you understand that I know, not just the thoughts that I think toward you, not just of you, but toward you, saith the Lord. This is a very simple thing. So today, tonight when you're sleeping, he's going to be thinking of wonderful things for you, just like you do for your children. I never forget the day I was able to buy my wife whatever she wanted. I remember that. And Kathy likes shoes. I've never met a woman didn't like shoes. They're in the shoes. So we went to this store. She may not even remember this. It was in Homer. And there was a beautiful pair of shoes. And they came in many different colors. Well, not many. I guess maybe four or five different colors. And she was going to get this. I said, why don't you get all five colors? She said, are you serious? I said, I'm serious. And the lady evidently worked a commission. She said, he is serious. She said, you mean I get five? I said, yeah. I felt so good that I said this under my breath. Thank you, Lord, for letting me buy my wife. I said, I feel so good. He said, you ought to feel like how I feel right now. It was a great day. The next week, remember the store? I don't know if they exist anymore. This is years ago. Lily Rubin. Am I right? That Lily Rubin? Kathy liked that place. So I went and I said, why don't you just go get your dress? Oh, Jesse, that's Lily Rubin. Well, it don't make no difference. Go get what you want. So I sat down. Fine stores makes the man sit down. Would you like a Coke? Wine? Do you ever get that at Walmart? No. You may get a better deal at Walmart, but you ain't getting no Coke. And you ain't sitting down. And they don't have St. John and Givenchy and Gucci and Christian Dior and Louis Vuitton and Chanel and all that kind of stuff. So I sat down in Lily Rubin. And Kathy want me to sit by the dressing room because they're going to try on a bunch of different things. And they all read the sign, no more than three garments. And they got at least 15 in there. You know, she said, I said, I don't like sitting by a dressing room. Why don't you like? I said, because people think I'm trying to look in there. They're going to think I'm a dirty old man. You understand? I don't want to sit by the dressing room. But I don't want to go out and just do that. I want just, I mean, I've had some people go, I said, I'm waiting on my wife. Go on. Aggravates me, you know what I mean? They automatically believe something that ain't true. So I'm sitting there. I got to tell you, this is great. And the Lord said, would you bless somebody today you don't know? I said, yes, Lord. I said, you blessed me when I was a sinner. I didn't know you and you did it. I'll do it. And he went in the morning about maybe 5 minutes. Here comes a young man and his wife. He's 24 at the most. She's probably 20. Maybe he's younger. And they look in this beautiful dress. And I'm about from me to this man. And she says, oh, God, look at this dress. And her husband said, they just got married, you know. And he said, oh, honey, I can't afford that. But one day I'll be able to buy you something like that. I wish I could get you that. She said, oh, you ain't got to get me that. They're just talking like this. I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but I'm just right there. I can hear it. And he says again, I can't afford that. And all of a sudden I hear somebody say, I can. That was me. That was me. And the man turned around. And she said, excuse me? I said, I can afford that. I said, why don't you go try that on? I bet that dress looked wonderful on you. Oh, sir. Now, Kathy's person that helped her was a girl named Heidi. He says, oh, I don't know you. I said, no, I don't know you neither. But I can afford that. And he said, I can't let you do that. And Heidi says, he can afford it. See, she worked on commission, too. He said,
Then she said, oh, by the way, let me show you the accessories. Then she go get the purses and all this. She's just bringing in, you know. So the girl goes in there. Oh, I mean, this dress fit her perfect. It's gorgeous, man. Because to me, there ain't nothing more beautiful than a woman in a beautiful dress. I don't care how nice that pantsuit is. But that's a Hillary Clinton thing. I'm talking. Yeah. Don't get mad at me. Oh, don't get mad at me now. Well, I got your attention there, didn't I? Hey, pantsuits are wonderful. That's not a criticism. I like them. I like pants, but I like a beautiful dress. Well, look at the Democrat. Whoa, well. Well. I just think a woman's beautiful in a beautiful dress. I didn't want y'all to go to sleep there. Oh. Anyway, so she comes out and it fit her perfect. She looked beautiful. She said, and her husband said, oh, honey, this is beautiful. It was $900 for that dress. Whoa. I ain't counting the purse, sweetheart. We just start. I said, that's beautiful. Look beautiful. We can't let you do that. I said, don't hurt my feelings. I said, I'm really not doing this. The Lord is. He just told me to, would you bless somebody you don't know? And I said, I'll just be honest. I heard you say you couldn't afford it. I didn't mean to eavesdrop or wasn't it just, y'all said, oh, well, I said, sir. He looked at me and I said, young man, because you wanted to buy your wife a dress, one day you're going to do that too. I said, I'm telling you. I said, you just start, y'all just start now. And if you just love each other and just work hard together, ain't nothing you can't do. Well, got the purse, got that man. Turned out to be about $1,600 by the time it's all said and done. You know when them Walmart shoppers over there, they went. And there ain't nothing wrong with Walmart. I like Walmart, buddy. I do. I like Walmart. I go in there. I do. I like Walmart. These are Walmart jeans. I bought these jeans. Okay. So watch this. Kathy comes out. She got two or three outfits. So I knew that's going to be easy nickel. There ain't nothing compared to what Kathy going to buy. Why? Because God has blessed me. So at least I can do his best. So, you know, she's adding it all up. And she says, Heidi, excuse me. I think you overcharged me. She said, I show four outfits here. Because I told Kathy, get more than one. We're going someplace and doing something. I said, you're about $1,600 over. And Heidi says, oh, no, Mr. The Planner's, Mr. Jesse's. She said, Mr. Jesse bought an outfit for a lady and a husband. She goes, oh, yeah, he does that. Thank you. That was it. I'm not bragging about that. But just that little incident was such a blessing. Amen. It was a blessing. And I told that couple, they didn't know what to say. I said, keep God in your life. Keep him first. One day you may own a store like Lily Rubin. Just don't think of buying a dress in one. Someone's got to own it. Why can't it be you? Why does it always got to be somebody else? Why can't it be you? This is a believers convention. We're telling you it can be you. Give the Lord a shout. Come on. It can. It will. Why not? Why not? Can be you. Let me just prophesy. It will be you. Yes. Don't you hear Brother Copeland doing it? Yes. See it there? Stretch, man. Because God's already thought that you can walk and talk like that and be like that. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Did you enjoy it today? Yes. Give the Lord a hand clap for that.